Behind every big hit.
He will score! And the Twins win it!
And every key strikeout.
Swing and a miss, he got him.
There are a lot of important decisions being made on the diamond and throughout the organization. And now, here's your inside look at your team on Inside Twins.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Inside Twins as we come to you live on a gorgeous Sunday here from Oakland, California. Final game of this three-game weekend series coming up, the rubber game as well. Twins and the A's one more time. First pitch coming up in just about 1 hour from now. The pitching matchup, Tommy Malone today, the former A for the Twin, and Jesse Chavez, the right-hander opposing for Oakland. I'm Corey Provis. We welcome your questions today via email, insidetwins@twinsbaseball.com. And on Twitter, hashtag Inside Twins. And our guest on today's program, we say hello and good afternoon to the GM of the Minnesota Twins. Great to see Terry Ryan back in the chair. How you doing?
Good, Corey. Thanks. Beautiful
great
day.
Yeah, it sure is. Great to visit with you once again. And our first visit here in the second half of the season, if you will. A lot to get to on the show today. First, I think we should begin with some breaking injury news. Miguel Sano, no go today. He's out for a few days.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out 3-4 days. He sprained his ankle in pregame yesterday, ironically, and played and put a pretty good at-bat there to get that sack fly last night. But he was on crutches, and he was gimping around here as he got onto the bus, so obviously it stiffened up on him last night.
Did you see that impact his at-bats with the strikeouts, or how much was that just Kazmir being pretty good?
I would say it did impact him some, because we haven't seen those kind of at-bats out of him this stint that he's been up here. And I don't know how severe that, whether or not it's pain or just discomfort. But he took a few of those ugly swings that you don't like to see. But he did bear down in that last at-bat. When we needed a sack fly, he got it done, and he barreled it up out to right. So he got the job done, so it didn't affect him in that at-bat.
How far can you ride this out before you'd have to be forced to make a corresponding move?
As soon as somebody down there tells me that he's not going to be back, now, if, you know, 3 to 5 days or so, we can handle that. We're off tomorrow, which is good. And, I, you know, being a young guy, and if he takes care of that thing, he should be back.
And it also works out, too, that you're back to 12 pitchers, that you have that extra guy on the bench as opposed to the bulk of the season. Really, it's been 13 on the staff.
Yeah, it'll give somebody a chance to get some at-bats. And I know that Robinson's playing left today, which is a good thing. Hunter, we're going to DH, it looks like. We can work through this thing as long as it's not too long.
So Miguel Sano out with a sprained right ankle, 3 to 5 days, not available in any capacity here for the finale today. Let's kind of stick on the injury front. Byron Buxton. It's been, what, close to a month now with the thumb injury, maybe just shy of a month. How's he progressing?
Yeah, he's doing all right. His aunt passed away recently, Corey, so he's been down in Georgia. But he can do the exercises that are prescribed for him, and he's doing fine, and he'll be back in Minnesota when we get there.
But nothing baseball-related yet? Has he been able to swing a bat? Or?
No, he has not. He's not prepared to do that. He hasn't even been able to put on a glove quite yet to play catch, but he's doing the strengthening exercises with the rubber ball and the grippers and so forth. So I anticipate he should be able to graduate into baseball activities maybe this week.
Now that's good news. Ricky Nolasco had surgery on his ankle earlier in the week in Charlotte. Any timetable as to if or when Nolasco could be back in 2015?
Not quite yet. I'm anxious to get back to Minnesota and see exactly what kind of progress Ricky has made. It was a successful surgery, and everything seems to be in order. He's rehabbing up there right now with our rehab coordinator, Lanning Tucker.
Is there a comp you can kind of point to, another pitcher, a position player even, that had a similar injury that you could kind of use as a timeline?
I don't think we've ever had one of these in the last 25 years that we've been around here. I don't recall anybody having anything coming out of his ankle like that on a push-off in the pitching side of it. It's just an odd injury, and it's been one of those things that I think Ricky's had since he's been in high school.
All right, we'll take our first break. When we come back, a lot to get to. We'll get Terry's thoughts on the first half of the season. The Twins are a contending team, folks. The trade deadline less than 2 weeks away. We'll dive into that as well. Plus, get Terry's thoughts on Paul Molitor. What do you see first half here as a manager in 2015. Mo and Terry Ryan next. Your questions are welcomed as well. Inside Twins at twinsbaseball.com as we continue live from Oakland on your home for Twins Baseball. Welcome back to Inside Twins as we continue from the ODOT Cole Coliseum. Final game of the series coming up at just about 1 hour from now. Chris's pregame at the bottom of the hour follows this program, and then game 3, the Twins And the A's. Corey Provis back with Terry Ryan. And Terry, we do have a question. This one comes from a fan asking about a player transaction the Twins made earlier this week involving a minor league player. Madison Bohr was released by the Twins, former second-round pick back in 2011. What led to that call?
He asked for his release, Corey. It's as simple as that. He just didn't think that things were working out so well, so he asked for his release, and we granted it. And, you know, that's not unusual in the minor leagues. He's been with us about 4 or 5 years now, and he just wasn't progressing, I don't think, at his wish. And ultimately, he decided that maybe this isn't the right spot for him.
Speaking of second-round picks, some other news this week. We just had the deadline, in fact, go by a couple days back for teams to sign their draft picks from the June draft. The Twins did sign number one pick, Tyler Jay, but did not come to terms with their second-round pick. It's not too surprising for teams not to sign, say, a guy that's picked in the 20 or 25th round, but that second-round selection, does that one sting a bit?
A little bit. It's better that if it just isn't a fit for both sides, you're better off maybe moving on. This one was a little bit of a battle. That we certainly wanted to sign Kyle Cody, and it just didn't work out. And there's many reasons. Sometimes it's just not time for a player to go, and other times it might be a disagreement about money. It might be a disagreement about his wishes to be up higher in the selection process. This one was a little complicated. We just didn't get it done.
How much has the new slotted system that's in place in the game for draft picks helped teams and players come to terms early on in the contractual discussions?
Well, it's been a tremendous difference. You get players out in June instead of late August, or, you know, sometimes they don't even start until the Instructional League or the Arizona Fall League. So the changes in the new collective bargaining agreement regarding the draft have been tremendous for both parties, in our opinion.
As we kind of shift gears now, Terry, as we visit here on July 19th and the trade deadline less than 2 weeks away, this is the first time that we've been on the air doing this program at this point when the Twins have been a contending team. So that being said, how different are things? What kind of conversations can you kind of speak of, elaborate on, as you kind of sit here and try to improve this roster moving forward?
Yeah, we're in a good position because we are in contention, and we've got an opportunity here to get into postseason, and that's the only place you want to be in late July. You don't want to be in one of those seller markets. And ironically, there's probably 20 teams that are very similar to us. There's not many that have declared that they're out. There's a few, certainly, that are, it's unrealistic to think that they're in, but about this time, things do start to heat up, which is about the exact time that any of these contending teams are starting to make the calls and vice versa. The non-contenders are looking to move people, and the contenders are trying to add.
I don't know how specific you can be, but can you speak, I guess, generally about some needs that you're trying to improve and look at and examine before the deadline?
Yeah, we have needs, Corey. I'm not going to get right into the specifics, but we don't have a perfect roster here. We've got things going in the right direction. We've got a lot of good things happening. We got some hope here. We got some youth. We've got some people producing. Yet we still have some needs.
Has the market changed? This is the first time since you've been back at the GM chair that you're in this position, going back a few years. Has that changed as you look at the deadline and try to improve the roster, what your responsibilities are now in 2015 compared to maybe a decade ago?
You know, one of the biggest changes I've noticed the last 2 or 3 years, the teams are making trades for players that are all established. You know, you used to go out and get prospects if you're not in the thing. Like the Boston club last year in St. Louis, you know, they flip-flop guys. That, you know, Cespedes, for instance, moved around. Even with a team that was in contention, Oakland. And it was odd to see stuff like that. And there were about 5 teams that did that very thing, and Cardinals were another team like that.
Twins have a great farm system, and that's been discussed plenty by many who follow the game and cover the game nationally. Is the difficult call sometimes to make to leverage some of that for maybe a player that you may only have for a couple of months?
Yeah, that's a choice you have to make on how much you want to take maybe a rental player and what you're willing to give up. And one of those minor league players ultimately could be a long-term need for any team that's non-contending right now. You have to make a tough decision on what you're willing to give up for a rental player.
You've told me in the past that with the state of the team in prior years that you have to be willing to listen on everybody, but now 9 games over here in late July, has that theory changed?
No, I don't think so. You always should listen to about anything that comes your way, because you never know. One of those out-of-the-box situations or propositions, that might be an ideal scenario for you if you think through it a little bit. And we're in a position right now, we're dealing from strength. We've got some players in the minor leagues that are attractive. We got some youth up here that look like they might be with us for a long time. So I would say we're in a decent spot.
One more before we go to break. There hasn't been any big move yet in the game. Has that surprised you?
Not really. There will be. Yep. You just give it time here, and we're approaching that last week of July. You'll see some things happen, and I suspect the 31st will be quite busy as well.
As it was last year, it was a lot of fun to watch all the teams making trades, and Price and Lester all moving, Cespedes all moving day of, Twins traded, Sam Fold got Tommy Malone, in fact, at the deadline last year. Malone goes today for the Twins in the finale of this series. We'll step aside. More with Terry next. Inside Twins continues on your home for Twins baseball. Inside Twins continues on a gorgeous Sunday here on the West Coast. Twins and the A's coming up at 3:05 Central Time. It'll be Tommy Malone today for the Twins and Jesse Chavez going for the A's. And Terry, let's kind of shift gears now, begin this segment with Paul Molitor. After watching him for 90-plus games now, what is your assessment about Molitor, the kind of manager he is, that maybe you didn't know until you needed to see him manage day in, day out at this level?
Well, I've never seen him manage because he hasn't, but going through the process and talking to him, he certainly wanted this job badly, Corey. And he's prepared, and the players like him, and he makes decisions, and he delegates, you know, all the things. He's organized. There isn't too much that, you know, that has gone wrong as far as there's been no discipline problems. We've had people be accountable. All the things that you're looking for, leadership, you know, dealing with the media, accessibility. You know, you go through all these questions as you're going through an interview process with managerial candidates. And we talked about a lot of things last year, you know, through that, I guess, the month of October and November. And he's followed through on about everything we discussed and issues and inexperience. You know, he has done about everything that I would hope would get done here, and it's been a good situation for all of us.
How often, and I guess how much healthy debate do you two have about the state of the roster when it's time to maybe send a guy out or bring a guy up?
We've had a couple of those discussions, and there's been a little bit of a disagreement on occasion. He has thoughts, and, you know, the 13 pitchers issue, you know, we thought we'd be at 12 for a long time. We never did get to 12 for, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks probably. But that was one of those things. Things were going pretty well, so we decided to stay with 13 guys. And I know that wasn't Paul's first choice. We've talked about that at length. But we were going well, and we didn't have to go into the bench there very often. I don't even know who we'd pinch hit for. And it just worked out that way. But we've had a couple of those where I might say, you want me to go get somebody? And he said, nope, we're doing fine there. Just leave it alone.
Did the two of you at all anticipate back in March that, hey, at some point, there's a good chance that Eddie Rosario, Alex Meyer, Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano would all reach this club at some point? Because it's happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, Hicks would be guy. Yeah. We thought Hicks probably would be here at some point. Sano, we thought he might be here. I'm not so sure at this point or this early. Certainly not Buxton, because he wasn't even eligible for the roster until after next year. But, you know, we got stuck a little bit. You know, Hicks was hurt, and Hunter was down for some reason, so we ended up having to go get Buxton because we needed a center fielder. And ultimately, that one backfired on me just because he got hurt. That's the last thing I wanted to have happen. But for the most part, Alex Meyer came up because he was getting the job done. We wanted to give him a good look and give him a taste, and hopefully he would respond. He didn't respond favorably enough, so we sent him back. But I don't see any harm in that.
Now, Meyer came up from AAA. Rosario came up from AAA. Buxton, Sano both came up from AA. And that trend has become somewhat common. I think of the game today, Joey Gallo came up from AA. Bryant came up from AAA with the Cubs. But there is still some importance about a young player getting at-bats or pitching at AAA before he reaches this point. Is that still true?
I would say so. You know, I'd like to get guys to AAA before we bring them up here, but sometimes it's not possible. You know, sending Vargas back and sending Arcia back, that's not what we hoped or planned. sending Santana back when he had to go back. You were hoping those guys would respond, and you don't have to send them back to AAA or AA like we did with Vargas. But sometimes it's a necessity, and you do what you think is right for the time, and that was what we had not planned on doing, but we did flip-flop them with some people we have hopes for.
Speaking of Arcia, Terry, we have a question here on Twitter from AJ about Arcia, and is he somebody that teams are calling about? Is that a name that, I mean, the question actually brings up David Ortiz and the comparison between those two players. Where is Arcia right now? Is he somebody that you envision being part of the Twins long-term, or is he a name that that people are calling about?
Well, it's up to him, and if he wants to be a part of this thing long-term, he's got to put consistent at-bats together. We've got to get him to take better at-bats against left-handed pitchers. We want him to be a guy that's a usable outfielder. He doesn't have to be a gold-glove guy, but we certainly want him to be able to go get a baseball and throw it to the right base and hit a cutoff guy. And he's a young kid. Don't forget, he's 24, I think. And he's got power potential. We're all looking for power. There are days down there that he does a wonderful job, and it looks like he's getting there, and there are days that he falls back into some of that all or nothing. We don't want that either. Use the whole field. Barrel the ball up. You know, doubles aren't a bad thing. A walk's not a bad thing. On-base percentage, not a bad thing. So all that combination, but he'll catch people's eye because he can hit it over the fence. And it's just a matter of consistency with RC, and I would hope that he'd be a long-term guy here.
I know in the past you have told me that he's got to be careful not to play himself into a platoon player when he's only going to be out there against righties and not lefties. Has he done better at the minor league level this year facing left-handed pitching, or is that still something he's working on?
It's a work in progress with him, Corey. You know, every day that the report comes in, I certainly look at his name to see how he's doing because he's one of the closer people to the big leagues. And it's apparent that he still has some work to do against left-handers to take a good at-bat. There was a day that that wasn't a problem at all with him. And unfortunately, it's beginning to show on occasion that he just, some of the better left-handed pitchers at AAA carve him up pretty good. So we've got to get over that as well.
One more break here at Inside Twins. We'll come back, get Terry's thoughts on the game today. Also, maybe dive into Aaron Hicks and what Terry has seen from the Twins center fielder as well. One more segment left. Inside Twins wraps up next on your home for Twins baseball. Just about 2 minutes left of our program today. Chris's pregame coming up in just about 5 minutes from right now. Then 3:05 start, Twins and the A's. One more time, it'll be Tommy Malone today for the Twins and Jesse Chavez for Oakland. Terry, I did want to ask you about Aaron Hicks, and here's somebody that the on-base percentage is rising. He's picking up some hits, but he's also drawing some walks. The discipline from Hicks that you're seeing now, had you seen this before at any level?
Well, I certainly saw it when he was at AA, Corey, and that's where we jumped him from AA to the big leagues, and that didn't work out so well. But he's starting to look like the player he's supposed to be. He should be an on-base percentage guy. He's played a pretty steady center field. That route he took yesterday was a little odd, but he's done a decent job in center. He's taken competitive at-bats. He's not afraid to take a walk. He's not afraid to get deep in counts and still put a good swing on a ball. And all those things are things that we were hoping to see out of him at some point. He started to show him.
And it was almost a year ago around this time when he briefly abandoned switch hitting too, and now he's confident from both sides.
Yeah, and that was a little bit of a confusing matter for me, certainly, because I always thought he probably could hit from the left side. He's starting to show that, and he certainly can take a pretty good swing of the ball from the right side. So hopefully he's over all that stuff.
Last one, Tommy Malone, last seven starts, is coming back from the minor leagues, 3-0, ERAs in the ones. He hasn't allowed a home run his last five starts. And Malone today has been great, Terry.
Yeah, he has been good, and I'll be interested to see how he pitches against his ex-club here. There's something for them and something for us to prove here, and we need, after that tough loss last night, it'd be nice to see him bounce back.
Terry, thanks for the time. Always enjoy the visit.
Thanks a lot, Corey.
All right, Terry Ryan joining us live here on this Sunday afternoon. Twins and the A's. One more time, the rubber game of this series coming up. Malone for the Twins, 5-1. Chavez for the A's. He is 4-9. Chris's pregame show is coming up momentarily. It is a bright, sunny day here on the West Coast. Game 3, the Twins and the A's coming up. Do not go anywhere. More to come right here on your home for Twins baseball.